Hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. This week, we're talking about space, PCB design, electrical and mechanical engineering collaboration, and a whole lot more. So we better get started. So in honor of Doug and Bob Falcon, SpaceX Dragon, and what it all means to the future of suborbital travel, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Simulated Space Radiation Edition. Now, in this last week, we've seen a lot of space firsts. Let's see. First commercial flight to space? Check. First SpaceX astronauts in space? Check. First galactic cosmic ray simulator? Check. Wait, what? Now, I think it's pretty common knowledge that radiation is bad for you, in space or here on Earth. Just last year, NASA did a pretty extensive study with the help of twin astronauts Scott and Tim Kelly about the effects of space radiation on the human body. And the results weren't good. Not only does radiation change our DNA, but it also has some pretty detrimental effects on our cognition and even our gut microbiomes. Weird. So where exactly does this space radiation come from? Well, some of it does come from solar flares and particles trapped in the Earth's magnetic field, but an even bigger source is called galactic cosmic rays. It kind of sounds like a grunge band I saw in the 90s. So, what are these galactic cosmic rays? Well, they're actually particle streams made up of helium ions, protons, and a bunch of other high-energy ions that have flown through space at the speed of light from outside the solar system, but mostly within the Milky Way, and are very hard to protect ourselves from. So in order to really understand what happens when these rays collide with spacecraft materials or even human tissues, NASA needed to simulate them. But as you can undoubtedly imagine, that's much easier said than done. But they did it. Enter the Galactic Cosmic Ray Simulator. And for the first time, NASA researchers have been able to replicate the collective radiation astronauts can expect to absorb on deep space missions. Unlike previous versions of cosmic ray simulators that were only able to fire mono-energetic beams of single ions, this new galactic cosmic ray simulator was able to fire 33 unique ion energy beams in quick succession in its first set of experiments, just like what the astronauts will experience in deep space. Now, the second round of experiments also included the delivery of simulated cosmic rays, but in this case, to animal models instead, over a period of a month. Now, this second study was specifically looking at the risk of certain cancers, cardiovascular disease, as well as the various impacts on the central nervous system. The authors of this study frame the context of this new galactic cosmic ray simulator like this. They say, "This achievement marks a significant step forward and enables a new era of radiobiology research to accelerate our understanding and mitigation of health risks faced by astronauts during long-duration exploration missions or interplanetary travel to Mars." So, if you want even more information about the Galactic Cosmic Ray Simulator, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, including a white paper called NASA's First Ground-Based Galactic Cosmic Ray Simulator, Enabling a New Era in Space Radiology Research. So cool. All right, from a new era in space to a new era in PCB design, please welcome Lee Gon, Chief Software Architect for Altium. Lee and I are discussing how Altium 365 can benefit electrical and mechanical engineers alike, why collaboration is a center point for Altium 365, and how it can also help get your project off to manufacturing without a headache. And we all want that, right? All right, Let's go.
Hi, Lee. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, Amelia. Thank you very much for having me here today.
Okay, so you guys just announced the availability of Altium 365, which you say empowers designers to work from anywhere and connect with anyone. So let's talk about Altium 365 and how exactly does it benefit electrical and mechanical engineers?
This is a really good question. The foundation upon which Altium 365 was built is really all about connecting the stakeholders in the value chain of electronics design. So whichever domain they may exist in, that might be the design domain, the supply chain domain, or maybe the manufacturing domain, you know, there's a bunch of different people that have to come together to essentially take a product from concept into reality. Two types of players that you mentioned there are the electrical engineers and the mechanical engineers. These guys and girls play a fundamental role in kind of taking that concept and turning it into a design, something that can actually go and be produced. Now, you know, no one produces electronics without them really going into some kind of mechanical enclosure. So it's that electrical and mechanical collaboration, which is, you know, a fundamental kind of piece of the puzzle when it comes to actually product design today. And a lot of the interaction that goes on between electrical and mechanical engineers is done in a way that, you know, uses file-based kind of data exchange. People are fairly separated, and the way in which information is exchanged and transferred is pretty limited and pretty old. You know, it's a fairly informal approach in many ways, and so it can be quite easy for these people to get out of sync with what they're working on. Altium 365 provides kind of a level of what we call digital continuity between these domains. So it makes it very easy for, say, the electrical engineer to take his design and push that over to the mechanical engineer, and vice versa. The mechanical engineer can also make changes to that design and push it back to the electrical engineer, all the while kind of making sure that both of them are kept in sync, essentially. So, you know, we're avoiding things like making mistakes where you might have a situation where, you know, a particular change wasn't picked up and the PCB just simply doesn't fit in the enclosure because there's a clash between, you know, one of the mating services and a component on the board or something like that.
Now, Lee, I know a lot of my audience has worked with Altium Designer in the past. So how does this platform work with Altium Designer?
Well, this platform, Altium 365, you can think of it as being woven into the fabric of Altium Designer. So it's not something that actually just bolts on. You can actually think of it as something that really amplifies the power of Altium Designer, essentially extends the tool's capabilities. So up to this point, Altium Designer has been, you know, very powerful and still remains to be a very powerful ECAD authoring tool that sits on a design engineer's desktop. Now, with Altium 365, what we're essentially doing is allowing Altium Designer to connect to the cloud, which basically makes it possible for people who are either using Altium Designer or via a web browser to essentially kind of connect in with a particular design, to view that design, to inspect it, to interact with it, to mark it up, to comment, and so on and so forth. So essentially what Altium 365, like I say, is doing is interwoven into the fabric of it. And this has the benefit also of making it very natural. So existing Altium Designer customers who, you know, are used to working within their Altium Designer environment can take full advantage of that Altium 365 platform without actually necessarily leaving the comfort of the tool as it is today.
Nice. So, Lee, collaboration seems to be a center point for Altium 365. So tell my audience about the overlap between the electronic and the mechanical domains specifically, which certainly can be a struggle for a lot of teams.
Yeah, as I mentioned, very few printed circuit board assemblies that are produced that aren't going to go into some kind of mechanical enclosure or mount some kind of like a physical chassis, for instance. So you've always got electrical and mechanical engineers that need to work closely together to make sure that they get things right first time. I'm sure that many people will be able to recount stories of people, you know, working together, producing, say, the enclosure or the chassis, and then the electrical kind of the printed circuit board side of things, only to get these things to produce, to bring them together for the first time, and then see that they actually don't fit when they thought they should. And then they'll go back and try and understand why that is. And it could be the case that, you know, the a mechanical engineer was working with an outdated version of the printed circuit board assembly, and maybe the electrical engineer forgot to give him the latest version, or whatever it is. There could be a thousand reasons as to what causes that problem. So with Altium 365, because of this native connectivity between the ECAD tool and the MCAD tool, and when I say native connectivity, what I mean there is that Altium 365, as I mentioned, is woven into the fabric of Altium Designer, but we also have add-ins or plugins that work for three different MCAD tools today. So that's SOLIDWORKS, PTC Creo, and Autodesk Inventor. Now, these add-ins are effectively kind of native extensions of those MCAD tools that you can simply download and install, and they will actually connect those MCAD tools, again, natively into the Altium 365 platform. So this then gives you this kind of seamless ability to push and pull data from one domain to the other domain. So you're essentially not exporting files anymore. You're not working with, you know, this kind of uncontrolled, informal data exchanges. Everything is actually happening through this kind of like a digital conduit, as it were. And you can do it in such a way that this push and pull happens with like fully annotated comments. So the design engineer is, you know, aware of what happened when a change was pushed and so on. And the other really cool thing about it is that when you're pushing and pulling these changes, you can also preview what's actually happened. So say the mechanical engineer, for instance, has moved a particular connector or something like that on the board. When the electrical engineer pulls that back into Altium Designer, into the design domain, he can actually preview those changes. So he can see exactly what's actually changed before choosing to apply them or even reject them and feedback mechanical engineer, you know, why there was a potentially a problem with that.
Cool. Now, Lee, getting any design along to the manufacturing stage can be difficult. How exactly can 365 help with manufacturing?
Yeah, I really like this question. I mean, I've been there myself. I'm sure many of our kind of listeners have been there as well. When it comes to, you know, you just finished up your design and you're about to package it all up and send it off to the manufacturer and you kind of go through all of that process, you send it there, you get your quotation, and you spend days kind of going backwards and forwards through all of that. And, you know, there's always a bit of an issue at some point going through that kind of process and it kind of disappears into manufacturing. And then you assume everything's going okay. And then, you know, a few days later, when you're kind of getting close towards the deadline, you might get that phone call from the manufacturer to say, you know, there's a particular issue with a part that can't be sourced, or maybe there's some other problem with the design itself, which is making the PCB fabrication difficult. Now, a lot of that kind of communication goes on in a fairly informal way today, you know, via emails or via phone calls and all that kind of stuff, where essentially we end up losing the context pretty quickly of what we're talking about. Now, what Altium 365 provides is this way where the design engineer and the manufacturing person can essentially have a contextual conversation around the design almost in real time, such that what we could do on the design side, how this would work is that you would essentially create a release of a design, package it up, that would contain everything that the manufacturer would, you know, normally have, which would maybe be, say, the Gerber data, for instance, NC drill file, bill of materials, any fabrication and assembly drawings and all that kind of stuff. And but instead of packaging that up into a zip file and putting it on a share drive or sending it via an email, with Altium 365, you can actually create what we call a manufacturing package. A manufacturer can be notified of the existence of that manufacturing package via an email, where they essentially just click on a link, which takes them to this really nice, straightforward, intuitive web portal. Now, the key thing at this point is that the manufacturer can actually open that design in the portal. So they can start to see, for instance, the fabrication data there, like the Gerber files, for instance. They'll also get access to things like the 3D rendition of the board. So it's now possible for the manufacturer to actually see what the product looks like before he actually goes and build it. I imagine there's many manufacturers, the first time they actually know what the product's really supposed to look like is when it actually comes off the end of the line. Now, the other key thing about being able to do that is that when the manufacturer is actually on that page in the browser, they can also provide feedback on that design. So through the commenting tools, by selecting particular components or potentially areas on the PCB, they can also mark things up. And we call this kind of contextual commenting. So it gives the manufacturer and the design engineer the ability to have essentially a comment thread that's running on the design. So it never loses context, you know, and you can appreciate that that's something that can happen quite quickly with an email. You soon start ending up referring to things like, you know, individual designators on the board or potentially a part number or, you know, the top left-hand corner or whatever that may be. So it's really this kind of like CAD-aware, CAD capability that Altium 365 starts to deliver and preserves that context, which makes that exchange between designer and manufacturer that much more simple.
So Lee, I heard a lot about Altium 365 at Altium Live late last year. So what's on the horizon for Altium now?
Well, this is really just the beginning. The platform was launched on the 1st of May to our entire subscriber base. And this is really just the first milestone along this journey for Altium. You know, we talk about our kind of 2025 vision, and, you know, we really see that it's our role to help drive change in the electronics industry in a positive way, in such a way that we can actually, you know, really improve the experience for people when it comes to designing and realizing electronics. So some of the things that you're going to start to see with Altium 365 as we move on is kind of deeper integration between what we call these three different domains. So the design domain is where the design engineer is obviously working to capture the intent and create the actual design. You've got the manufacturing domain where it's being produced, and then what we call the supply chain domain, which is where all the component manufacturers and distributors sit, provide all the parts that we're actually going to end up assembling on the board. Now, Altium 365, as we move forward, is really going to start to better connect all three of those domains. So you can start to see things like deeper integration with manufacturers. We'll end up getting to the point where things like design for manufacturability becomes design with your manufacturer in such a way that we're actually able to close the loop between design and manufacturing in a way that we just don't see being done. So like I say, this is very much the first step along this path, but there's some really interesting and great things waiting for our customers on the horizon.
And I'm excited to see that as well. All right, Lee, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, I'm going to throw my recent standard question at you. So since we're all on a kind of lockdown these days and we can't really have the food that we really would like, if there was one thing you could eat right now, doesn't matter what country it comes from, if the restaurant's closed, whatever, what would you have right now?
Oh, the one that just popped into my mind, I would love a pad thai. Just love one.
That sounds absolutely delicious. Well, Lee, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, Amelia.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by, yeah, me. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store, Spotify, or Podbean. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, even if your company makes it, or heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 5th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.